The Orioles' incredible winning streak may be over, but there's excitement in Baltimore for baseball for the first time in quite a while. Dan Roderick's of the Baltimore Sun joins Locked On MLB to talk about birds in flight.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look down there. You could call me Sully. I've been a television producer, got an Emmy nomination for my troubles. I've been a comedian, actor, writer, and I've appeared on HBO Sports, ESPN2, and I've been podcasting for well over a decade. And now I'm taking this strange baseball mind and putting it in your earbuds at least 5 days a week. But this week, it's 6 days. That's right. I did a sixth episode, and that's what I'm dropping right here on the 16th day of July, 2022. And you can follow us on Twitter, Lockdown and MLB Pods. Same handle for Instagram. And you can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Thanks so much for making us your first listen. Hey, I've known Dan Roderick for a while, for well over a decade. He is a writer for the Baltimore Sun. He's been a writer for, gosh, since the late 70s. He's had a column, a regular column, not a sports column, just a regular column in the Baltimore Sun. But he talks about all things Baltimore, including the Baltimore Orioles. I've been a guest many times on his Baltimore Sun podcast where we talked about the Orioles. I was brought in back in 2014 and 2016 when things were more fun in Baltimore land. But Dan and I have remained friends, and he continues to love and talk about the Orioles. And we recorded this when the Orioles were in the middle of their 10-game winning streak. It happened to end last night in a 5-4 loss in Tampa Bay, but it's still an incredible stretch that the Orioles have gone on. And I want to talk to him a little bit about this team, the fast turnaround, what it means to the city. Now, we couldn't do a video podcast. Everything was done over the phone. So you're going to see, if you're watching the video, there's pictures of the two of us. But we had a nice long conversation. In fact, part of it is going to be used in a later episode because it was more of a general conversation about Oriole fandom and everything like that. But I really am hoping you enjoy my conversation with the Baltimore Sun's great Dan Roderick. Dan Roderick of the Baltimore Sun, you have been writing for the Baltimore Sun for since Francis Scott Key was watching the Rockets' Red Glare, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, not quite that long, Sully, but as long as the Orioles blew the World Series to the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979. That was the year I started writing a column for the Sun. I was 24 years old. Wow. I'm still writing a column. So we haven't really done the work to find out if this is true, but I might have the longest running local news column in the country. I don't know anybody else who's done that longer. Actually, tell you the truth, Sully, I've been feeling good about the Orioles longer than other people have.
Right.
And I actually wrote in my column that the Orioles are going to win more than they lose finally. And I was told that was crazy. That's not going to happen this year. You know, I just have had this feeling. I've been watching this slow rebuild, as painful as it was for a couple of years of more than 100 losses, and it's coming together now. It's kind of amazing. It's really.
And again, we'll get to what's happening immediately, in the last few weeks in just a second. But I have a listener who goes by the handle Panorama Jazz Band and Panorama Brass Band. Say that 10 times fast. Who is a rabid Baltimore Orioles fan who follows the show and seems to be upset when I talk about teams other than the Orioles, even when the Orioles got off to a terrible start. Like, why don't you talk about the Orioles? Because they've lost the last three games. Because an Angel pitcher just threw a no-hitter. Forgive me, that right. The Orioles in the right. front of the queue. But let me just put it this way. His comments have been coming fast and furious the last few weeks.
I bet.
Absolutely. If I had gone to Vegas or gone to Bet Online and put a bet down at the beginning of the year who was going to be the manager of the year, If I had said Brandon Hyde, I would have been committed to a mental institution.
That's true. Right. Yes.
But you almost have to consider him that now.
Oh, you do. You almost do. Yeah. We're only halfway through the season, but still.
Even if this last week or so is kind of a little bit of an aberration. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. That's why you've been the writer for the last, 40, whatever it is, years. Even if it's an aberration, what it's done for the Baltimore Orioles is it's given their fan base a little something to wake up and show up to games at Camden Yards. But it's also for the young players on that team, it's given them a chance to be like, oh, this is what it's like to go to the ballpark and not be playing for either a draft pick or seeing what team I'm going to be traded to. This is what it could be like to, show up with a chance to win and be competitive.
Yep. I mean, toward the end of last season or the middle of last season, people were talking about tanking. There was the word I kept hearing. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're tanking. What do you mean? They're losing intentionally so they can get another high draft pick? There was a lot of sour talk, really. If you hear people say they were a true believer all along, don't believe them. Because there's been a lot of sour talk about the Orioles for the last 4 years, right? People didn't believe in the rebuild. They believed the team was tanking. They believed the Angelos family was going to sell the team or actually even move it to Nashville. There was talk of that. So it's been a sour 4 years after the Manny Machado trade. People got really down on it.
And the trade was a bust. I mean, they traded away. They should have traded him the year before when they had whoever would trade for him would have a year and a half of control. Instead, they waited, and the trade they made with Los Angeles didn't pan out.
That's right. And in fact, I think the top player in that trade is now not even considered an important player anymore, unfortunately. But you know what else? We had Chris Davis during that time, to the burden of Chris Davis.
Right.
And we don't have him this year. They're not carrying him this year. That, almost automatic strikeout, the tragedy of Crush, who turned into Crash Davis, so he was gone. But to me, the big story this year is the pitching. People are still scratching their heads over where this pitching has come from, especially the bullpen. The great starters.
Dan, before we go, I just want to say, for those of you who are just casually paying attention to this, I want to just point this out. Let's say a month ago, we're dropping this on the 15th, 14th or 15th, whatever we're dropping it. I haven't figured it out yet because we got word as you and I were setting this up that the Blue Jays had fired their manager. So I may have to do an emergency podcast about that. But roughly a month ago, the Orioles were 10 games under 500. Only the Tigers, Royals, and A's were worse, okay? It was like, here's another terrible year. They're going to lose 90-something games. Since then, they're 17-7. So it's not just been – what I'm saying is it's not just been the recent winning streak. It has been the fact that for about a month, they've been playing at an elite level. Which for the young players on the team, a year like that could go a long way in laying down the foundation for being a good team in 2023 and beyond.
I hope you're right. And I have a similar feeling about it. There's this thing called chemistry. You see it. You can see it in the faces of the players. You can see when they're in the dugout. You just get this sense of it. Even when they lose a close game, there's this camaraderie among the young players on the team, sort of around Cedric Mullins and Trey Mancini, who are the veterans now. That's a very good thing. They look like they're happy to be there, happy to play with each other. That's it. That's a really important piece of it. The karma of the chemistry of the team. And these young players that they drafted are turning out to be pretty damn good. The catcher we have, Rutschman, Mountcastle. Austin Hayes, these are guys that
Santander
are like 24.
Is always wherever the whenever there's a big hit, Santander always seems to be the one getting like the double in the gap or something like that.
Yeah, he's really been productive this year. Very exciting.
All right, we're gonna pause here for a minute. We're gonna talk a little bit about BlueNile.com, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone event Find jewelry as unique as the one you love with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. If you're looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On MLB listeners will get $50 off of any purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. So use code LOCKEDON, that's code LOCKEDON, plus every order is insured, ships for free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your river priests at BlueNile.com. Go there today. Hey, thanks again for making Locked On MLB your first listen every day. Make sure to check out the live MLB draft show on July 17th. That's tomorrow on Locked On MLB Prospects. Right after the first round of the MLB draft, join MLB Prospects expert Lindsey Crosby, expert Jeff Ellis, and maybe your pal Sully will show up as we go deep on the future stars of Major League Baseball. Subscribe now to the Locked On MLB Prospects show so you can be notified when they go live on MLB Draft Night. Okay, let's return to my conversation with Baltimore Suns columnist Dan Roderick.
I got to tell you something, Sully. You know, you've heard of Orioles magic?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a thing. That's the thing that's been around since 1979, this first season we talked about here. And I don't use that term very much because, I don't know, it's old. You know, your old school Orioles magic. When was the last time we saw Orioles magic?
Yeah.
All through the Cal Ripken years, I never really felt Orioles magic.
Right.
But the other night, Friday night against the L.A. Angels, when they're down two outs in the ninth inning and two strikes on Rougned Odor, and he gets a hit, right? And then the next batter comes up, gets two strikes on him with two outs, Cedric Mullins. Yeah. No, Rutschman. And he gets a hit. And, you know, they're losing in the bottom of the ninth inning. And then Mullins gets up, and he gets two strikes on him with two outs, and he gets a hit. And then Mancini gets up, gets two strikes on him, and he gets a hit that wins the game. It's another walk-off win.
Right.
And that's the moment I say, holy crap, where did that come from? That's got to be that. That's that old Orioles magic. That's the only explanation for something like that.
Well, I'll tell you something that should give. First of all, I said something unintentionally condescending, and I hope Dan Roddick of the Baltimore Sun will forgive your pal Sully for this. But I was talking somewhat condescendingly about the idea of, hey, you know what? If they play well, it's a good foundation for next year. As we're recording this, the winning streak is at 9 games. They're only 2 games out of a playoff spot. And we're not yet at the All-Star break. You know,
I didn't find what you said condescending, for the record. Okay.
You know, okay. Thank you, Dan. This is why you're a good man. But well, yeah,
I have the same feeling. I feel like there's a core of players here that could be around for the next 6 or 7 years.
Some of the teams that they're chasing, obviously Toronto just fired their manager. Boston, you know, the team I grew up rooting for, obviously Boston's a good team, but they have very fragile pitching. You know, I mean, like, obviously they've got back Chris Sale, and you hope that, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, you hope that you're going to get some semblance of Sale back. But, you know, this is not the 2004 Red Sox. This could very easily be a team that goes into a slump. Seattle has shown that they can go into slumps. Tampa Bay has shown they can go into slumps. You're trying to tell me if this Orioles team I know we've expanded the playoffs to 3 wildcard teams. This is one that if they clinch the third wildcard spot, you should have a parade. There should be confetti flying for there and a fireworks show because talk about, you know, I know some people don't celebrate too much clinching a wildcard. For this team to go from they have the number one pick in the draft in a few days. If this team makes the playoffs, you know, and it doesn't matter if they get swept or whatever. If this team is playing meaningful games in September with a core, when you look up and down the core of this team, they're all under 30. Mountcastle, Mateo, Arias, Mullins, Santander, Rutschman. Like, the only one who isn't is Trey Mancini. And so you know these guys are going to be back next year.
They're all batting under 280.
There's no MVP on this team. There's no one guy standing out carrying it. It's a full team effort. It's unbelievable.
It's very exciting. Yeah, we have three guys who can steal bases. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a new element to have three on a team that you can reliably steal a base.
That would be Mullins,
Hayes,
Mateo. Oh, and Hayes. Yeah. Hayes
is those three guys. Yeah, that's another element. And then they turned Jorge Lopez into a closer.
Right,
and he's been really solid, except for a couple of games that he blew in the ninth inning recently, which seemed almost out of character. But he made he's our only All-Star this year. You know, a lot of people don't believe in a rebuild. They think, well, a team's just trying to save money. You went through the COVID year, and this is a good time to just trim down and save money. And what does it matter? They got all that TV money anyway. And I heard a lot of sour talk around the Orioles from people who live here in the greater Patapsco drainage basin. And, I was a believer. I thought, yeah, they're really serious about starting over again. And you have to go with it. You don't really have much of a choice, but if you're going to be a baseball fan. But I thought they did it. I saw what they were doing, and I thought, you know, this is making sense to me. So,
well, I think I will say in their defense, when you keep piling up 100 lost seasons, mm-hmm. you know, you can get bitter. And also, when the organization whiffs as badly as they did on the Machado trade, you know, you say, like, okay, you have this guy who's a legit MVP candidate in his prime, and you can't acquire one building block for him.
That's true. Know? That was a bad – it didn't work out. And then they let Adam Jones – you know, Adam Jones was a very popular player here.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Adam Jones. And,
yeah.
And, you know, then they let him go, and they had that burden of Chris Davis that they couldn't they should have shaken him off, but earlier than they did.
Speaking about people talking about the Orioles, have woken up. And has the city of Baltimore responded? Are people showing up to Camden Yards? Is there?
Yes.
I mean, you're literally in the press. You're literally the media of Baltimore.
Yeah. We've had games with 3,000, 4,000 people there during these 100 lost seasons. It's really depressing. Although you can sit anywhere you want. The last series with the LA was fantastic. But I don't know. It was floppy hat night on Friday night, but they had 28,000 there.
That's
and
great.
Then they had, I think they had 19,000 and then 35,000 on Sunday. So it's, yeah, people will, if you build it, they will come. You know, if you people do respond, and it's happening again. So, you know what? There's been a lot of, what's the word? I'm thinking, civic unrest that seems to have simmered for a long time in downtown Baltimore. And through COVID, we had a lot of businesses that closed downtown, and people worried about, are people going to still come downtown to Baltimore? The city's lost some population. We have a problem with violent crime, as you know. Mm-hmm. And people come down to Camden Yards. It's 30 years now that the Oriole Park has been there. And if you have a decent team, if you have a Paul McCartney concert, they'll come. They filled the place with Paul McCartney a few weeks ago. So, yeah, no, and they're coming out for the Orioles now. I expect to take in several games this summer.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, you know, Sully.
It's a sleeping giant of a fan base, and I would just love to see, you know. And even though I'm a fan of a team in the AL East, I'm a baseball fan first, and Baltimore is a great baseball city when it's rocking. And also, let's face it, you know, I've never been to Camden Yards. That's one of the stadiums I've never been to. Mm-hmm. I went to Memorial Stadium. I've never been to Camden Yards. For whatever reason, I just never got around to going to a game there. Although I intentionally went to Memorial Stadium knowing that they were going to move into Camden Yards. I went to a game in 91 because I wanted to make sure that I got to see a game there. I'm very glad I did. It was wonderful great. Ballpark.
It was, yeah.
There's so many great memories in that stadium. And you know, there's been no great World Series moment in Camden Yards. I mean, there obviously you've had some incredibly memorable moments in Camden Yards, especially the Cal Ripken game. But, right. you know, you don't have that championship moment in that park. Like that.
We had an all-star game here. That was exciting. And the Pope came. Pope John Paul came, 1995.
Can he pitch?
But, you know, he did. He celebrated Mass out in center field. Anyway, Sully, you got to come. And you be my guest. I'll get the tickets. And
now you're talking. Now you're talking, folks.
We got to go see Boog Powell and have some of his barbecue before we go into the grandstand, sit there. So
now, do you know what? I accept your invitation.
Please come. Oh, you'd love it. Please come.
All right, let's talk a minute about Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the Major League Baseball regular season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Back to Dan Roderick's of the Baltimore Sun. Hey, Dan, I have one last philosophical question to ask. I alluded to this earlier, that the Orioles are going to have the first pick in the draft. And when you have the first pick of the draft, what you should do is say, you know, don't worry about needs. Don't worry about what's in your farm system. Draft the best player available. Whoever the best talent is, draft that. But we've also seen teams whiff with the number one pick. And, you know, hell, I love pointing out that Mike Trout was in the mid-20s in terms of picks the year that he was drafted.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, he was like a 26th or 27th in the draft. But I can't help but wonder, having that number one pick and knowing that in all probability this is going to be a contending team next year, there's almost got to be the temptation to draft whoever's the closest to getting up to the majors. It's almost like a chance to acquire a player or a free agent or a trade, that if you can acquire like a college stud pitcher who could be on the team contributing it by 2023. You know, I know that like the number one pick, that almost everyone's saying the number one pick is going to be an outfielder named Drew Jones, who's the son of former Braves center fielder Andrew Jones. And apparently this is kind of a Vladdy Jr. situation where his son is just as good as he is. So that I know I'm hearing you salivate all the way. I'm in Pasadena and you're in Baltimore. I'm hearing you salivate all the way over here.
I'm thinking the Orioles have two really good pitchers that are coming up, D.L. Hall and Grayson Rodriguez. They're very high on them. And we may see Hall in the next few weeks even. Rodriguez had some kind of injury that delays his coming up to the show. But so I don't know about a pitcher. I don't know if they need a –
okay, well, then draft Drew Jones. Draft him.
Yeah. I mean, I like that because, you know, we don't have currently we don't have a 300 hitter who's hitting 30 home runs. So, you know.
Well, I guess that also comes up to the other thing is, do you draft the hitter who's closest to being on the team, or do you just draft, like, if you know, Drew Jones isn't going to make the team in the next couple of years, and if you had a chance to draft, like, the best college hitter who could be contributing to the team in a year. I don't know. This is why these organizations make the big bucks, because these sort of decisions will keep me up at night.
Yeah, it is philosophical. There is room for that in baseball. Whereas in football, when they do drafts, they want, you know, they know exactly what they want and they go after it.
Same with basketball.
Right, same in basketball, yeah.
Well, hey, Dan Roddick's, I've been a guest on your show in Baltimore, and I love it. Whenever you post about baseball, you always link me. Even if I'm not in the article, you always link me.
Right.
And every once in a while, I'll go on Twitter and go like, why do I have like my notifications have like 20 or 30 people from Baltimore? Like, oh, Dan Roddick must have written something.
Well, because we follow you and, you know, who owned baseball and all that. We don't see. And there's a good reason why we haven't seen the Orioles in there very much the last few years.
They've stunk.
Yeah. No. I just want to make sure you're paying attention, and I know you are.
Well, it's funny. Like, up until about a month ago, I thought Trey Mancini was going to be one of the most interesting trade chips at the trade deadline because he's exactly the kind of hitter. He's not a superstar. You know, he's not a franchise player, but he's a professional hitter. And if you're a team like I threw out Cleveland, you know, a team that is, you know, can pitch and they just need that. They need that extra spark in their lineup. I thought if you put, you know, Mancini in their lineup to protect Ramirez and blah, 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 that might be a couple more runs a game and be a few more wins. But now the Orioles should be like, no, we're not trading them. We're as close to a playoff spot as Cleveland is.
I'm not a praying man, but I would pray please don't trade that man. I mean, Baltimore is so in love with that guy and behind him because of his cancer that he went through and all that. And he came back so well from it last year. And there's a chemistry, like I said, there's this chemistry on the team and he's a huge part of that. Yeah. And I'd hate to see that happen. Now that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I just had an image pop in my head, and I'll leave us on this. When there was a bunch of years when the Rockies were not very good, and Todd Helton was an MVP candidate. He was an incredible player, beloved in Colorado, but it was clear that the Rockies were not going to get into contention, and it almost didn't seem fair. And there was rumors, is he going to be traded to the Red Sox? Is he going to be traded to Los Angeles? All these trade rumors started popping up about Todd Helton, and ultimately he stayed. And when the Rockies went on that wild run at the end of the 2007 regular season and into the playoffs, the image that I have in my head, it's actually one of my favorite images in baseball history. The Rockies wound up sweeping Arizona and going to the World Series. And the last out was, I can't remember who was playing third. Forgive me. It may have been Atkins. May have been Glenn Davis, okay? But the third baseman threw across the diamond to Helton. And it was in time. It was a bang-bang play, but it was in time. And Helton didn't jump up and down. He dropped to his knees and held his arms up in the air. And it was a moment of pure euphoria, of which you could read into it, we're going to the World Series, and I'm doing it with this team. Yeah. I didn't jump ship. I didn't sign somewhere else. This team's that I toiled with, that I had the rotten years with, now we're having the goodies. And I'll send you, Dan, that picture, because there's a lot in that image of, this is how I wanted to go to the World Series. I'm sure it would have been great if he went as a Philly or as a Dodger or whatever, but I'm going as a Rocky. And bringing that to Mancini, who is not the MVP candidate that Helton was, but it was, as you said, a beloved figure for Baltimore fans. Right. And if the goodies are right around the corner, the positive years are right around the corner, it would almost, I don't want to use the term tragedy, because tragedy, we've seen what tragedies are. But it would be too bad if the Orioles' good years came and Mancini was like playing for Minnesota or some team like that.
Right, right. God, I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, look, it just keep winning games. Look at that Colorado team. No one expected them to do piddly poo that year. They wanted to go to the World Series.
Right, against your team, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, the Red Sox were better. Yes, I do remember that.
By the way, Sully, you know that used to be my team. You know, I grew up in Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was picturing your whole life with a little wooden mallet cracking up open soft shell crabs. And, you know.
No, I moved here after college. But, you know, when I was a kid, I was in Fenway Park. And, you know, I remember Frank Malzone and even saw Ted Williams play when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Well, that was before me.
I know. So
I saw Yastrzemski. I saw George Scott, Evans, Rice, Burleson.
You want to hear me do the whole 67 starting lineup?
Okay, let's hear it. That's why I think I called it.
All right. George Scott at first, Mike Andrews at second, Rico Petrocelli was the shortstop, Joe Foy was at third base, Yastrzemski was in left field, Reggie Smith in center, Tony Canigliaro, until he got beamed, was in right and then was replaced by Ken Harrelson, the Hawk. Mm-hmm. And the catchers were, this is where I get stuck sometime, Russ Nixon, Elston Howard.
Yep, I know Elston Howard was one of them.
Yeah, and there was a third one. I could give you the pictures. But anyway, I was.
And Jerry Adair was on that team too, I think.
I always pronounce his name Adair.
Oh, you know what? You could be right. Yeah. I'm going by a clip, and I heard that's how Ned Martin said his name. So.
Oh, really? He did?
Yeah.
Okay. Ned Martin. Jim Lomborg, Jose Santiago, Gary Wozluski, Jose Tartable. Wow. I was 13. Your rule of seven is true for me.
Yeah.
But they were so good by the time I was 13, 67. And then Bob Gibson showed up and just stopped all the fun.
Well, there you go. Dan Roddick has been a longtime columnist for the Baltimore Sun to the point where we may have to call Guinness. And if you're not in the Book of World Records, you and I may share a Guinness anyway. But
right.
Guinness is
you
not
have
a sponsor.
An invitation. You have an invitation.
I'm gonna. You know what? I can't cash in on it this year, but I may cash in on it next year.
Okay.
I may cash in on it next year. Dan Roddick, where can people follow you online?
I'm at thebaltimoresun.com. I have a column that runs 3 days a week. It's usually not about sports. It's about other things, politics, and whatever strikes my fancy. It's a great job. BaltimoreSun.com.
Well, and Dan, you and I have had a mutual admiration society for almost a decade now, that I think about it.
I know. Yeah, I know. Sully, you do great
work. I think
work.
The first time I appeared on your pod, when you were doing a Baltimore Sun Orioles podcast, I think that must have been 2014, because they were in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's
right. Yeah, I used to be on radio, and then I gave up a radio job and started a podcast for the Sun called Roughly Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like you, but I hit 450 episodes and I was pooped and decided just to write my column and just have one job.
You're older than
that
me.
One thing.
You're older than me.
Yeah, I'm a little older.
You're older than me, Dan.
Right.
And I'm not young. I am not young. Well, Dan Roddick, I'm so glad that I can now list you as podcast guest when I do my little tallies on Fridays on via Twitter. You can follow me, by the way, at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram, and you can follow the show at Locked On MLB Pods, same handle for Instagram. And oh, by the way, I'm not 100% sure which day this episode is dropping, but please, thanks so much for making us your first listen, and have your second listen be Locked On MLB prospect, friend of the podcast, Lindsey Crosby, is a prospect encyclopedia, and he breaks down the stars of tomorrow. And some of those stars of tomorrow are already stars of today in Baltimore. So check him out wherever you get your podcasts. Talking Baltimore with the great Dan Roddick, who knows more about Baltimore, who's forgotten more about Baltimore than I will ever know. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sullivan.